Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Tune in. You're right. I hope you are. Sincerely, genuinely hope you are. My glorious band. Chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. I hope you're doing well. I hope you had a nice evening. Me? Yeah. No, I'm alright. Yeah, all good. Thanks for asking. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How you doing, Harry?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
The all-powerful voice of the disembodied producer there. All right, it is now 8 in the a.m. British summertime on Tuesday. Tuesday the 18th of August. In the year of our Lord 2026. Should we just get on with it, though? Should we just stop faffing about? It's more than enough fannying about for one morning. Let's just get straight into it. What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? What's that cabal of, quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell you isn't important? What are they lying to us about by omission? Nothing else. All right, we've got who duped the PM? Andy No Stone and Burnham, King of the North. King Bumham, the first of his name, got duped into thinking he was contacting Trump's chief of staff, Susie Wiles. All right. It's quite serious, actually, isn't it, relatively? And Pep's agony. Football manager talked about his divorce. It's silly season. It's August. The news, as a general rule, falls off a cliff a bit in August. There's not as much going on, is there, usually. So they've got to resort to a football manager talks about his divorce a bit that happened ages ago that's of no consequence to anyone other than them. Okay, all right. The Daily Mail, let's have a look then. The Mail, pure globalist slot. Try and pretend it isn't. The women who won't give up fat jabs even though their hair is falling out. Don't care. Of course I don't care. Embrace it. No, it's different for women though, isn't it? Obviously. But your hair's falling out. Can't you just eat less? Fat jab thing. Ugh. I haven't got a great deal of sympathy for obese people, morbidly obese people or whatever. Fat jabs. Just stop eating cake and pie. Ugh. That Hayden Panettiere. I don't know how to pronounce her surname properly, but it looks like it was a drugs overdose. Probably. Certainly no real foul play. The coroner said there's no signs of like a struggle or any violence or anything. And reports are coming out that it was drugs. A drug overdose. Whether, you know, accidental or not. That's not clear. But all right, anyway. So who was White House hoaxer who duped PM? Security fears over Bumham's messages with imposter who posed as Trump's chief of staff. Andy Bumham was left red-faced yesterday after he was fooled by an imposter posing as Donald Trump's chief of staff. An international hunt is underway for the hoaxer who targeted the prime minister as he took office last month. So apparently, apparently just before he became prime minister and just after, he was in communications with somebody on his phone who said they were Susie Wiles, Trump's chief of staff, the Ice Maiden. It's her moniker. And chief of staff to the president of the United States is super, super duper important, right? It's kind of the president's right-hand man or woman, as the case may be. You know, really, really close. It's supposed to be, they're like a gatekeeper, but more than that even. It's like kind of everything the president knows and does, the chief of staff is looped into, kind of everything. You know, if there's some sort of giant event that happens, the president, one of the first people the president will go to is his chief of staff. Right, it's a nub, a nexus, super important, super important. So, okay, The question is then, like, basically, how did that happen? Like, well, just technically, how? How is that possible? You know, was it Iranians? Was it Russians? Was it just someone within the White House, just genuinely a hoaxer, just having a laugh? Or was it something much more serious, like state actors? We don't know. We haven't got any of the real detail yet of exactly what went down. Like, we don't know what they spoke about to each other. Or anything like that. So, the number 10 is saying, it was only a few messages and it was of nothing of any sensitive nature. Then other people say, well, they would say that. In fact, let's go to, I think it's on the Mail. Yeah, the Mail Online. Here we go. They also ask, they've got a better article here, longer, better article. Yeah, one, technically, how did it happen? Who was it? What was said between them? Was it of any, like, you know, anything sensitive? She's had her phone hacked before. Like, last year, it was shown that she'd had her phone hacked. And apparently, in that incident, whoever had hacked her had also, like, AI-generated her voice. And was calling up, apparently, this is crazy, this one passed me by when this happened. I don't remember this in the news cycle. Maybe it's a big deal in America. Not sure the story really reached us here, not for long anyway. But apparently, the people that had hacked Susie Wiles' phone generated her voice and was phoning up other important people in the Trump administration and, like, saying stuff to them. Who knows what? I don't think we've got the real detail exactly what was said and done. That's worrying, isn't it? That's very, very worrying. That I'd be extremely concerned by that. Okay, so from our side of things, it's just a bit embarrassing. But Andy Burnham is and number 10 have declined to sort of give any comment when they were asked. Is the prime minister, even is the prime minister embarrassed by this? They're just like, no comment. Of course he is. Of course he would be. It's easy to get duped though. Super easy to get duped. I'll tell a little anecdote. A week or so ago, there was someone on Twitter and they were claiming to be close to Elon. And, like, immediately I'm like, are they? I doubt it. And anyway, they were asking for a follow, so I followed them. So they sent me a DM and I had a couple of two or three DMs back and forth with them. And the whole time I'm thinking, this is 99% nonsense, isn't it? 99% nonsense. And then they said, "Oh, you want to speak to Elon?" Okay, bro. Yeah. But there you go. If you were a little bit more credulous, you could easily get cheap, very, very easily. But the thing is, the Prime Minister is supposed to have all sorts of, like, safeguards in place, right? Well, the Americans, when the Brits reported this, they reported it to the Americans. We think this has happened. The Americans said, yeah, that's not Susie Wiles. She's not. Yeah, you've been duped. And they called him a chump. The Americans called him, yeah, look. But in an embarrassing debacle, which has left the Prime Minister, quote, looking like a chump, according to US officials. Not very sympathetic, is it, from the American side? Does make you look like a bit of a chump. There are supposed to be, aren't there, all sorts of mechanisms in place to prevent anything like that even remotely happening. Like, if Andy Burnham wanted to make sure he's actually talking to the real Susie Wiles, wouldn't he go through actual diplomatic, or like the Foreign Office, at least, the Foreign Office channels? Something or other, not just replying to someone on his phone that claims to be Susie Wiles. I don't know. All right, I mean, there's not that much more to the story than that. Interesting though, on this article, this little bit, I thought it was quite interesting. It gives a rundown of a few other people that have been duped. There's loads of people. David Cameron's been duped. Prince Harry, you know. Even Sarah Palin. Or one time, I do remember this is quite funny, John Colshaw, if anyone doesn't know him, he's not on TV that much anymore, but he used to be on TV a while ago, quite a bit. and he would do impressions of people like Rory Bremner. He was really good at doing voice impersonations. And he rung up Tony Blair. I don't know how he got Tony Blair's actual number. I thought Tony Blair didn't even have a mobile. Isn't that one of the things? Anyway, maybe it was at a number 10 landline. Who knows? He rung up Tony Blair, claiming to be William Hague, the leader of the opposition at the time. Apparently, Tony Blair just twigged it straight away and said, that's quite a good imitation. Tony Blair wasn't fooled. He's nobody's fool, old Tone. Anyway, it's easy to get duped, super easy. Be careful. But, you know, if you're Prime Minister, you would think you'd be a bit more savvy, wouldn't you, than that. All right, let's get back to the headlines. So it's one of the main stories today in the news cycle. That's why I spent so long on that. Okay. All right, what else have we got? The Star, pure slop. Pure slop. Mrs. Brown's Boy's Christmas special is axed. Good, it's crap. Mrs. Brown's Boy, I don't like it. I think it's really lame. I've only watched a couple of episodes and I was like, that's enough. I get it. This is terrible. I actually did see a headline. Something about someone's jaw got broken. I don't know if it was that guy or like in an accident or something. Anyway, I don't care. He's just 4 weeks into his new job, but... And is faked. Caught out by Trump prankster and crazy wildfire alert. Does someone need to take away the Prime Minister's phone? I do feel like Andy Burnham, as well as being like some sort of, have the mind of like a student activist, still moaning about Thatcher, wanting to go back to the 70s, declaring war on middle class people, all that stuff. As well as having the mind of like a teenager at best. I feel like he's not particularly clever. Like I say, savvy. I think that's like the word, you know. People that are, you would want in your leader someone that's like an operator, someone that's cynical on some level, someone that's like, you know, not credulous. Not like a soft fool. Right? I would want that in my leader. I could just pick and choose, of course. Why wouldn't you? I think he is those things. I think Burnham is those things. He's got a soft mind on a number of levels. Not ideal, is it? Especially if we're going to go to war with Russia, which our deep state seem hell-bent on. More on that later. All right. The Daily Tory graph, pure globalist slop, pro-Zionist anti-British slop. What have we got? That old dude from Bargain Hunt or something said he's part of a dying breed. Old white English gentleman. Yeah, probably, yeah. Rayner paves way, Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, paves way for more traveller sites. Right. Okay. They're trying to destroy the fabric of our society, aren't they? Trying. Residents will be, quote, forced to tolerate lawbreakers, quote. Right. As reforms hinder councils from blocking new camps. So this is what, because she's like the housing minister or something, rather, isn't it? Whatever nonsense title they've given that buffoon. It's part of her, the Greenbelt thing, where she wants to build loads more houses for our invaders. And that part of that means lifting various rules and red tape on being able to build on Greenbelt sites, the small amount of natural beauty remaining on this island. I want to pave over that. And part of that will mean more loopholes for travellers, travelling folk, who are also largely a blight on our society, aren't they? Although, that's a bit of a big thing, why would you say that? Well, you live next to them. You live next to them and see how they behave. See how they behave. The rules just simply don't apply to them. What rules? All the rules. Horrible. So, yeah, you have to tolerate it. Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, has decreed that you just have to put up with it. Whilst they build more houses for our even more pernicious invaders, you have to put up with travelling folk as well. They just simply don't act in the interest of the people, do they? They just simply don't. Okay, scrapping prostate tests will cost lives. Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah. It's all right, you've got to make sure all our invaders get a dentist, though. So, got to make sure all our invaders have enough maternity cover. So, out the window, prostate tests go. Burnham to block water firms using surge pricing during drought. Oh, the terrible drought. The terrible, terrible drought. It's England is on fire. Britain is on fire. Oh no, heavy showers and thunderstorms bring risk of flash flooding to UK. Right. So it's just a few days of heat in the summer. It's called summer. They're chimping out about summer. And now we might have flash floods. Because it rains again. Didn't I say last week? I think it was the end of last week. When there was some more alarmist stuff about drought and heatwave. I said, I said something like, I think, just wait till October till it starts raining again, and then there'll be all sorts of flooding problems. Just wait. We're actually a very, very rain-soaked, soggy, damp island out in the North Atlantic, actually. That's the reality of it, isn't it? Well, it didn't even take till October. Like a couple of days later. It's going to be a little sprinkle of rain, flash floods. Remember the front page of The Independent yesterday? Just massive, massive picture of flames. And all those data points about global warming. All the wildfires. It's too hot. Da, 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 da. It's just summer. It's just called summer. Okay. Well, so Charles Moore in The Telegraph says, Jason Arday's death cannot be blamed on the press. Yeah, fair enough. They shot and killed a stag in Richmond Park. See, it's August. Silly season. They're reduced to that front page of the Telegraph. A stag in Richmond Park stumbled across someone having a picnic and attacked them. I don't think they were hurt or anything. I guess the police were called, an armed response unit or whatever. I don't know. It was shot. Okay. Kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for front page national news, isn't it? Okay, The Guardian. Ooh, The Guardian. Ooh, God. So gross. So gross, The Guardian. Stomach turning. Right. Tice call to stop fighting climate crisis sparks fury. Again, the syntax, the sort of... The way they put... headlines is so stupid. Reform deputy accused of misinformation as UK reels from wildfires. Now, I've got my issues with Dicey Ticey. I think he's a terrible politician, personally. But I agree with him on this. Again, I'm not too proud to agree with my political enemies if they say something I agree with. Absolutely not. Yeah, he basically said stuff like, I completely and utterly paraphrase, but he basically said stuff like, calm down, it's just a bit of summer, and if anything, it's good for wineries, people that grow grapes in England. If anything, it's good for that, isn't it? He was like, enjoy the weather, just enjoy the warm weather while it lasts. And it's good for, like, vineyards. Good for English grape growers, isn't it? He was like that about it. Yeah. Oh, misinformation, though. It's misinformation. Climate activists warned of the misinformation. Did they? Did they? I mean, it's just nonsense, isn't it? Just nonsense. Okay. Trump says he'll bomb Oman if it gets in the way of Iran deal. So you remember Mr. Trump's... Iran and the US's... memorandum of understanding, and that gave them, they gave themselves 60 days to get a proper full peace deal, and even within that 60 days there was still 10 days or more, was it, of like bombing each other quite heavily. Iran firing missiles into places like Jordan and Kuwait and wherever, killing a few people, including one or two US servicemen. America bombing night after night after night infrastructure inside Iran, all sorts of stuff. That's all contained within that 60 days. Well, anyway, that 60 days is over now. So what now? What next? I don't know. Because Iran wants to try and make a deal with Oman. Just like a deal just between them. Over like control of the Straits of Hormuz. Trump says, I'm not having that. No. Oman, you're nominally, very nominally, an ally of the United States. We can't have that. I don't want that. Me and old Marco Rubio over at State, we're not going to have that. Don't make us call up Pete. Don't make me and Marco get on a conference call to Big Pete H over at the Pentagon. You won't like that. You'll regret that. He's threatened it. I mean, I think I said yesterday, was it? Or maybe at the weekend, a rally somewhere, a speech somewhere, Trump said he intends on turning the Straits of Hormuz into sort of full-blown US territory. The thing is with Trump now and his strategy is it does seem to rely on, doesn't it? It does seem to rely on the Iranians blinking and ultimately at some point capitulating. Right? They don't look like they've got any intention of doing that. You can threaten them and threaten them and threaten them and bomb them and bomb them and bomb them. And that regime just won't give up. As I say, they're likely to, they'd rather rule over a nation in rubble than give up. Part of their worldview, part of their ideology, their religion even, is that it's not the end of the world to be martyred. Quite literally, it's not the worst thing ever to be martyred for your cause. Ooh. That doesn't sit well with a strategy of getting them to capitulate and give in, does it? So, Trump didn't want, really, really didn't want a forever war in Iran. Does look like it's going to be difficult to prevent that. Unless Trump and the US just give in, just back away and say, look, you know. They call up old Bibby. Look, we tried. We tried really hard. We did what you asked us to do. And it didn't work. So. And we're not going to put boots on the ground. That's still the thing that the US are saying. They've got no appetite for boots on the ground. Well, I doubt that regime is going to change then. Oh, look, here's a weird vigil for Jason Arday. Look at the state of this. Look at the state of these. It says tens of thousands. I don't think it was tens of thousands. It wasn't tens of thousands. That image there is about the biggest you could possibly have captured in one place as an image. It's maybe like 1,000, maybe 2 at most, not tens of thousands. Guardian, why you can't stop themselves, can they? There's a vigil in Trafalgar Square, front of the Portrait Gallery. St. Martin's, isn't it? St. Martin's, feels that, and then like Nelson's Column would be just there. Anyway. It was organised by Stand Up to Racism. Yeah, so that's what it was, saying that it's all racist. Everything that happened to Jason Arday and the cause of his death ultimately was racism. Get some black Labour MP woman to stand up there, talk about racism. Ooh, racism. And Jason Arday was a great, brilliant dude. Was he? Was he? There's an article there. No. Yeah, look. Quote, a lovely, kind and brilliant man. Tens of thousands attend Jason Arday's vigil. A lovely, kind and brilliant man. Was he? Wasn't he a confidence trickster? Wasn't he a habitual liar? Lovely, kind and brilliant. Doubt it. Don't think so. I don't think he was, mate. All right, there you got loads of black and brown people and a few bleeding heart liberal boomer women. That's it. Hashtag not all boomers. Go based boomers. All right, the Mirror. pure leftist slop, full-blown leftist Fabian slop. And there's that thing, Pep's agony, Pep Guardiola, the manager of Man City, or sorry, the ex-manager of Man City. He's not even the current manager of Manchester City Football Club. He used to be. Is that what he says? Oh, no. No, he's still, I thought he still is. Is he? Should know that. X-Man. No, he's still, I think he still is. They must be, yeah, because they're in the Charity Shield. No, sorry. Sorry, I got that wrong then. He is still the manager of Manchester City. And apparently he gave a pep talk to his team. Maybe it was in half-time of the Charity Shield the other day. I don't know exactly. I couldn't be bothered to read the details properly. And in that, he referenced his ex-wife, this woman here, that he'd split up with. And he's talking about the passion. Him and his wife didn't have the passion anymore, but he needs his team to have the passion for football. That's it. That's it. That's that whole story. Again, scraping the bottom of the barrel in August, isn't it, really? All right. Farage's party at it again. They go with Dicey Ticey and he's a wine buffoon. Is he? Is he the mirror? Their reformed arrangement syndrome is well bad. Well bad. Devastating drought, wildfires, homes burnt to the ground, families who have lost everything, but reformed deputy Richard Tice says it's great for the grapes. Wine buffoon. Shut up. Shut up. Go away. Not even going to give that any time. Right, the Sun, what slop have they got for us? What sloppy joes are they serving up for us? Slapping in our face. Show lifts lid on agony. Oh, there's a TV show. There's going to be a TV show about it. Told of split at game. Aces team talk shock. Pep's divorce rant at players. Pep Guardiola lost the passion with his wife and he needs his players to have passion for football. That's the most important thing in the world, apparently, according to The Sun. Could report on anything. Anything that's going on in the entire world. Good game with that. Utter slop. An insult to call that journalism in any way. The Times, the Venerable Times. Tweaked early release scheme could keep PC's killers in prison. They're going, can they or can't they? Again, this is another story, another twist in the story of PC Andrew Harper's killers. Whether they will, or two of the three of them, whether they will or won't be let out early. It's just going on and on and on. Isn't it? Them saying, oh, you can't do it. It's not possible. You can't do it. The government saying, we can do it. We are going to do it. And they're saying, you can't. It won't happen. It won't happen. It will happen. We are going to do it. Well, the latest here, according to the Times, says they can do a tweak to release, to make sure that certain types of manslaughter cases can't get let out early. And that would include these two. Has the executive got the power or not? I suppose it would come under the auspices of the Home Office. Have they got the power or not? It should be pretty straightforward. Okay. Mildly interesting. Children left fixated with violence by social media. Report backs curbs to stop Southport-style attacks. It's part of, in my opinion, part of Operation Creep. For censorship, just a more and more censorious society. They'll say, they use the argument over and over and over again, that something or other is a detriment, a danger to children. And so it must be banned. The government must step in to ban it. And again, at first blush, you're like, good, fine. Yeah. Let's protect the innocent minds of children. Sure. What possible argument is there against that? Well, that it's just simply a thin end of the wedge to government censorship for everyone. Children, we must censor this because children might see it. But now it's also 16 to 18-year-olds as well, though. Oh, now it's everyone. Now it's not just sort of extreme violence or extreme pornography or something. Now it's anything we don't like. The government, we. Anything we, the government, don't want you to see. And it's not just for children, it's for everyone. And it will start with, it starts with this, doesn't it? Children, like, we've got a sense of social media to prevent a Southport-style attack. Okay. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. It's not a good paper, obviously. That's an Alan Partridge quote. It's a complete slop. And it's, again, much like the Mail. And the Telegraph. Trying to poorly wear the skin suit of a nativist or a patriot in some way. In fact, it's pure globalist slop. Hates us and will work very hard to destroy anyone that's trying to save this country. Fears grow that Calais jungle-style camps could spring up on south coast of England. Smugglers use Britain as transit hub for migrants. I had to read this because I was like, wait, what now? Well, it's saying the reverse. It's saying that migrants get into Britain one way or another, maybe some by aeroplane. But some of them actually would rather be in Europe. They could get a better deal, more gibs, less likely to be deported, perhaps, in one or two other places in Europe. So they actually, they come to England, then they want to get out of England. So there would be a reverse migrant camp, like down in Dover or somewhere. I don't know, Folkestone or whatever. Who knows? There'll be a reverse Calais jungle camp on the south coast of England where they're trying to smuggle themselves across the channel to go to somewhere else. Belgium or something. Who knows? What a mess. What a hot mess. Just, it's just get off of me. Get lost. Get away. All of it. Just gross. Get them out and keep them out. We've got to clear them out. Clear them out as well. All right. Look, the Queen, Camilla Parker Bowles, is a normal person. Look, she's got carrier bags. She was spotted just wearing jeans and carrying carrier bags. She's having bags of fun. Oh, good. Good. Good for her. The FT, the Financial Times. Big, fat, disgusting pig tyrant Kim Jong-un is enjoying a circus. Quite literally, watching a circus. With his daughter that they say might be being groomed politically to take over from him one day, maybe. Some say that. Who knows if that's true, but some sort of anniversary of Korea liberating themselves from Japan. And he was watching a circus. Big, fat, disgusting pig, Kim Jong-un. Okay. What else have we got? The Metro. Ooh, gross. Is that revolting, fetid stench? Smells like treason. Smells like sedition. I smell sedition. That's right, it's the Metro. That doesn't sound much like peace, Mr. President, they go with. They've got Trump derangement syndrome, haven't they? Real bad. Well, they're leftists. They're arch leftists. Trump's four-letter threat to bomb US ally, Oman, nominally an ally, as his 60-day deadline to resolve Iran war expires with no end in sight. All right, I'm just going to move on. At The Independent, again, look at the crowds turned out for Jason Arday. Look at it. Ugh. Ugh. That Stand Up to Racism printed out a load of placards that said, "Rest in power, Professor Jason Arday." I am not interested in the entire narrative about Jason Arday. Not interested. I don't care. I don't care about it. I talked about it very minimally on this show, didn't I? Because, and only when it was on the front page, front and centre, very minimally. On my other politics show, the state the state of politics, with Mr. H Reviews, Nate. We didn't talk about Arday at all until he was found dead. And then we did a segment on that and the reaction to that. We didn't do any. We did two, three videos a day on that channel. We didn't talk about it at all. I was just not interested. I don't care. Oh, some DEI hired dude turned out to be completely incompetent and was raised far above his what his true station in life should have been. Yeah. So what? I mean, not so what, but like, yeah, that's happening loads all over the place. It's barely a story to me. I was shown to be a charlatan and a liar. Yeah. Big news. Big whoop. But now he's died, of course. Killed himself, it seems. And the backlash to that, I still don't care. Still don't care. And the fact that it's being used to, like, it's racism. It's racism. The people that exposed his lies, is a seemingly endless stream of lies, they're the problem in all of this. Nah, no, no. It's Jason Arday's responsibility. He did it all to himself. He did all those lies and then killed himself. So it's on him. The responsibility is on him. A little bit of responsibility with the Cambridge University professors who gave him that job, who set him up to fail, essentially. They wanted a little lapdog, a little token brown man they can pat on the head and go, look, we've got a black professor. Aren't we virtuous? They're to blame a bit. But it's mainly all on him. But no, it's about racism, is it? I don't care. I don't care about these people and their politics and their worldview. Step over them. Step round them. Not interested in their victimhood. We have the picture again, Harry. Their victim narrative at every possible turn. Jason Arday was a brilliant man. No, he wasn't. Well, he's brilliant in the sense that he was brilliant at lying, it seems. Although not even that brilliant at that. It was kind of obvious, wasn't it? You run multiple marathons and a broken leg. No, you didn't, mate. I don't think so, mate. You were in 7-Up. No, you weren't. Liar. Okay. Trump, I'll bomb Oman if it blocks our Hormuz plan. I wonder if he actually will. Probably will. Probably would. Okay, the IR paper. They talk about these text alerts where the government in this country, was it over the weekend or was it Friday? I can't remember. Sent text to everyone saying, beware of wildfires, like regardless of where you were or anything. And then the Home Office or whatever, the government issued suggestions that, you know, you shouldn't have barbecues and things. And now people, busybodies, like the COVID era busybody bloody Karens, ringing 999 going, oh, my neighbour's having a barbecue. Ringing 999 for that. Oh, what? The Home Office has issued guidelines saying you shouldn't have barbecues. Oh, I see someone doing a barbecue. 999, hello, police. The iPaper says, neighbours told don't phone 999 to report next door's barbecue. Yeah, because that's mad. That's a busybody Karen behaviour. What do you think you're doing? Well, you would want to live in a Soviet-style informal society. A Tiberius, Caligula, Domitian-style informal society. Is that what you want? A 1984 informal society. Is that what you want, Karen? I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. And so don't call 999, because that's like, it's really important that those telephone lines are kept open for real emergencies. Fire chiefs warn public not to use 999 to report neighbours holding barbecues or bonfires in wake of government's use of national alert system to millions of mobile phones on Friday. Alert blamed for surge of emergency calls over the weekend, prompting fire and rescue services to urge public to reserve 999 for genuine situations where people may be in danger. Yeah. Yeah, Karen. Not all Karens are female. It's a pejorative term that could apply to anyone, by the way. Actual women who have the name Karen most affected. Apologies to any super-based, completely reasonable woman who's actually called Karen. It's a euphemism, isn't it? It's a shorthand for a busybody, isn't it? Okay. Episode raises questions over whether an alert intended to encourage people to report potentially dangerous fires may have added to pressure on emergency control rooms. Well, it sounds like it definitely has. It may have added to the pressure, but you're reporting that it definitely has. So what are you... Okay, all right. Met Office, London... Oh, no, wait. Met Office, is that... Metropolitan Police or the Meteorological Office, the weather people, I don't know. Met Office predicts change in new heatwave. I guess it's the weather one. It will be, yeah, sorry. So the weather people predict a change of, chance of new heatwave by mid-September, despite some rainfall expected this week. and nighttime temperatures dropping to 3 degrees in parts of the country. That'd be nice. It's quite a warm, muggy night last night, wasn't it? In the south, anyway. I don't know what it's like up in Inverness or something, but yeah, okay, there you go. That's the story. That's the story the iPapers decided to go with. The government sent out an alert to everyone, and a bunch of Karens went mad and started dobbing in their own neighbours for having a bonfire or a barbecue. They're the headlines. They're the increasingly absurd and infuriating headlines out of Fleet Street on this morning, the 18th of August, in the year of our Lord 2026. All right, let's have a look at our poll. We do our poll at this point in the show, don't we, every day? I asked Harry, we didn't think of anything. So what we do sometimes, if you've noticed, if you've been in the chat on the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo, colloquially known as Breakfast with Bo, Bo's Breakfast Club, hashtag the real BBC, don't you forget about me. Sometimes we ask the chat, what poll would you like? What poll would you like to see? I think that was one of those mornings, wasn't it, Harry? Did we do that? Is that what we did?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we did. So the poll here, I'm looking at it for the first time. What have we got? We asked you guys, do you think No Stern and Burnham is a boomer with tech? Again, boomer being shorthand, not necessarily an actual baby boomer, born in like 1946 or whatever, but shorthand for being technically inept. Do you think Andy Burnham is one of those? And the ayes have it. To the tune of a cool 90%. 700 odd people voted in that. So the options Harry put is, yes, he is a chump. Quoting US officials there. Or no, I am the number one Burnham shill. 10% of people clicked on that. 1 in 10 of the glorious band, The Chosen Few, clicked on that. You're in the wrong place, really, aren't you? It's probably not the place for you. You're basically not welcome here. Why don't you bugger off? Go on, jog on. You're not welcome here. This isn't the podcast for you. Don't go. Don't go. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I still love you. I love you. We can make this work. We can make this work. I was joking. I was joking, baby. Don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Till the night closes in. All right. Let's have a look at the price of oil. We usually check in with the price of crude, don't we, on the open market. Let's have a look at what we're looking at today. Despite everything that's gone on with Trump and Iran and Oman threatening to bomb Oman, that would spike the price of oil, would it? Yeah, not really. Little bit. West Texas is in at $85 a barrel. Harry, can you bring that up? There you go. $85 a barrel for West Texas. Brent trading just over $91.50. I think yesterday, if memory serves, it was like $88 or something. So it's gone up a little bit. Still. Remarkable how low the price of oil is. Well, like a six month long plus war in the Persian Gulf. And the price of oil is under $100. Significantly under $100 if you want to buy or sell a barrel of West Texas. Shame it doesn't translate into what you or I have to pay at the petrol pump for our gasoline. Our petrol, our diesel. I know Americans call it gas, don't they? We call it petrol. But I think it's funny, some people in America, I guess from the South, I don't even know, call it gasoline. That's just funny to an Englishman. Well, to me, anyway. All right, enough of that. Well, what else have we got? A few other stories. Okay, so our deep state insists on poking the Russian bear in the eye with a dirty stick. It's insisting on it. For some reason. Russia says UK will pay, quote, will pay for supplying drones to Ukraine. And the story is, over the last few days, both the Ukraine and Russia have sent loads, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of drones at each other. Both sides have been doing that. Hundreds apiece. And a fair few of the Ukrainian ones are just built by Britain. Built by British companies in Britain. Then we give them to the Ukrainians, and then they fire them into Russian territory. Blow stuff up. The Russian equivalent of Amazon, roughly speaking. Some company called Wildberries. I'd never heard of it before, but I'm not Russian, so, but okay. And like for some reason, the Ukrainian strategy has been to blow up loads of their warehouses. 9 out of 10 of their warehouses, something like that. I can't remember the exact number. 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 of the largest Wildberries logistics centres, like giant Amazon-style warehouses, have been disabled. Okay. And the Ukrainians have done something in the order of $35 billion of economic damage to Russia in recent weeks or months. And a fair bit of those drones that the Ukrainians fire are British-built by two specific British companies and stuff. And yeah, the Russians are saying Britain will pay the price for that. Pretty concerning. I mean, I'm not in favour of it. That's the way it goes, isn't it? Normal people just get caught in the crossfire of things. Your government does something. You never, ever supported that government. You never voted for them. You never supported them. You were vocal against their policies. And yet you get caught up and are ultimately the victim of something. The world reacts to something your government did. But I think of maybe all the people in Russia that were constantly, consistently anti-socialist, anti-Bolshevik, anti-Soviet, and yet paid the price for everything that happened. People in Germany that were actively, and or East Germany, actively and always anti-Nazi. They still get invaded and raped and murdered when the Red Army sweeps across them anyway. And someone in Britain who was always against this war, but now the Russians may well... Who knows what they'll do? Who knows? Probably nothing, but who knows? I'll read a little bit of it. Russia has accused the UK of, quote, deliberately opting for an escalation of the Ukraine crisis, quote, following confirmation that British-made drones had been used in strikes on targets in Russia. This is a quote from the Russians. In doing so... I was going to do a Russian accent there. I won't. In doing so... No, I won't. I won't. In doing so, the United Kingdom is acting as an accomplice and co-perpetrator of the bloody crimes of terrorist attacks, the Russian embassy to the UK wrote in a statement. London's actions will inevitably carry consequences for which it will have to answer. Dun, dun, dun. It said, adding that the deeper its involvement in the conflict, quote, the higher the price will be, quote. And the Brits, our government, the Ministry of Defence just came out and said, no, we stand shoulder to shoulder with Ukraine. Well, do you? Okay. Russia should be in no doubt about the resolve of this government to stand against Russian aggression in Ukraine and against the UK and our allies. It's got nothing to do with NATO, though. Nothing, any of this has got anything to do with NATO, though. None of it has got anything to do with the espionage and shenanigans that went on with Ukraine in the years before Mr. Putin's invasion of the Donbass. We don't talk about any of that anymore. No. We don't talk about NATO trying to basically surround Russia as much as possible after the end of the Cold War. We don't talk about any of that. We don't talk about all the subversion and the various paramilitary outrages that happened in the Donbass before Mr. Putin's invasion. We don't talk about any of that. No, it's just simply Mr. Putin's illegal invasion of Ukraine, which he did for no reason other than that he wants to just be... He wants to be like some sort of new Stalin. He wants to be some sort of new Tsar Alexander. He wants to water his tanks in the Seine. So we're going to send Ukraine drones that get fired into Russia? Okay. All right, well. What can we do apart from just look on aghast? I don't want anything to do with Ukraine or Russia, both of those. I don't want anything to do with that war. Why is Britain involved in anything to do with that, one side or the other? Why should we be? The Donbass region. It's really got nothing to do with us. Unless you buy the argument that Mr. Putin is some sort of a new Hitler figure who means to sort of invade all of Ukraine, Belarus, onto Poland, onto Warsaw, the Red Divisions, onto Warsaw, and then who knows what. And then Berlin, yeah? Then Frankfurt, then Paris. Don't buy it. I just don't buy it. The Donbass region's got nothing to do with Britain. All right. What other quick stories did we have? One or two others, was there? I think we did the Jason Arde thing. I had a little rant about Jason Arde. Oh, Tupac. Keefy D. It's trial. The trial's begun. First day of the trial yesterday. Have we got time? Oh, it's already 10:02. I was going to play this little 3-minute video, but maybe I'll save it largely for when the trial ends. But, you know, did I mention yesterday Keefy D wrote a memoir? Memoir is a kind way of describing it. Someone else wrote a book for him. I doubt he's even particularly literate. A book was written that was supposed to be by Keefy D about his life and adventures. The adventures of Keefy D. And in it, he just said, yeah, I was like totally involved in that murder. I was sort of in the car. Anyway. We'll see. We'll wait to see what happens. Then I'll talk all about it. Okay. All right. Well, it is 10:02. So let's move on this day in history. I like doing that segment. You guys seem to like me doing that segment. So down through the centuries, on this day, the 18th of August, what happened overnight? Let's have a look-see. All right, on this day in 1590, the governor of Roanoke Island Colony, John White, returns from England. So he'd gone to Roanoke Island, which is off the coast of one of the Carolinas, isn't it? And he'd gone there, tried to set up this colony. Then he'd returned back to England for more provisions and more tools and things. They'd realised there was a bunch of things they didn't bring with them that they should really, really need. So he and a small number went back to England. It was actually the Spanish Armada was happening at that exact time, or just after he landed, so he wasn't allowed to go back for a while, a couple of years. Spanish Armada is 1588, of course. A couple of years go by. Then he travels back to Roanoke Island, to his colony, with help, with suckers, and it's deserted. It says he returns from England to find no trace of the colonists he left there 3 years earlier. It was just deserted. There was no one there. Because some people say, it's not their fault if they get it slightly wrong, the first English settlement is Jamestown. It's like, no, there was Roanoke Island before that, but it was a complete failure. Do you reckon that on my history theme show, Bodade's Epochs, which is behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership. Also on this stream, remember to give it a thumbs up, sub to the channel, get the bell on. Do you think on Epochs I've got long form content talking about that? Yeah. I've got a whole thing on the life of Sir Walter Riley, who this was his brainchild and he bankrolled it. He wanted to go himself, but good Queen Bess, Queen Elizabeth I, said, no, you can't personally go. He was gutted about that. Walter Riley wanted to personally go, but he wasn't allowed. He never set foot in North America, actually. He went to South America, but he never actually set foot in North America at all. So, Walter. Anyway, it has been a bit of a mystery for centuries. What happened to all the people on Roanoke Island? Where did they go? Were they all killed by wild Indians? Did they eat themselves? Did they cannibalise themselves? Was it aliens? It seems almost certainly now, though, because there's a few fragmentary bits of information, archaeology, that they were probably starving to death one of those winters, and they decided to go inland and fall upon the good graces of the Native American Indian people that were there and hope they're not all just butchered by them. Because it's that or definite starvation. And it seems that at least some of them did survive. There's small archaeological evidence of tools and like bits of pottery and stuff that must have come from the Roanoke Island colonists. But they essentially disappeared. Right, there you go. Interesting. Interesting thing. On this day, and they left a little note on a tree as well. It's not like a complete mystery. Anyway, on this day in 1737, first public admission to the Salon de Paris art exhibition at the Louvre in Paris. 1737? Is that early, do you think? Is that late? Interesting. Okay, on this day in 1838, the United States exploring expedition headed by Charles Wilkes departs for the Pacific Ocean and Antarctica. Yeah, Wilkes Island. There's Wilkes Island, isn't there? In the Pacific. What is it? Part of Wake Island. Went down to the Antarctic as well. James Cook, the Englishman, had deduced there's almost certainly must be a giant landmass down there below South America, below Australasia. And the Russians had also sent an expedition, and there was hints from even medieval mariners that there may well be, probably is, some sort of giant landmass right at the bottom of the globe. Charles Wilkes goes down there for the US, the Wilkes expedition. Interesting stuff, if that's your bag. Do you think on Epochs and on Harry? On Epochs and also on... And also on History Bro. My own channel, History Bro. Check it out. This isn't real. I haven't got 100,000 subscribers. This isn't real. I think I've got all sorts of content talking about the age of exploration on Antarctica. All sorts of stuff. Yeah. It's there. Check it out. No paywall on History Bro either. All right. On this day in 1919, the Anti-Cigarette League of America forms in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, well done. Is that about the time, wasn't it, the Prohibition movement? Again, busybody Karen saying you can't drink, you can't smoke, shouldn't gamble. All right. Can't the government just leave us alone, largely? I would want a tiny government. I'm not a true libertarian. I've got libertarian leanings. I'd like the government to leave us alone as much as possible. I think, like, the government should step in, like, if someone's saying, I'm synthesizing my own nerve agent, yeah, maybe the state should step in and stop you doing that, pass a law to stop that happening, things like that. Just common sense. Beyond that, do what you want, largely. You're not hurting anyone else, certainly. You can't drink, you can't smoke, can't have guns, can't gamble. Leave us alone, get out of our lives. All right, on this day in 1920, State Representative Harry T. Byrne, 24, I guess that means he's 24 years old, casts the deciding vote in Tennessee's and thus America's ratification of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, allowing women suffrage after reading a letter from his mother. Little mummy's boy, Harry Byrne. Well done, mate. All right. On this day in 1940, the long hot summer of 1940, the Battle of Britain. Air battle known as the Hardest Day occurs. The Luftwaffe loses approximately 69 aircraft and the Royal Air Force loses 68 in one of the largest ever air battles. Look, there's Winnie there. Look, there's Winnie. Bombed out house in London. I think it's London, it might not be. But the long hot summer of 1914, the Battle of Britain. Who knows about Operation Sea Lion? Who knows what Mr. Hitler and then the Nazis might have done had they won the Battle of Britain? It's a whole long thing. I'm sure there'll be people in the comments right away. Church was bad, church was evil, Boomer Truth regime. Don't worry, I agree with you, don't worry. I've got long-form content. Do you think I've got... Long-form content about Churchill. About Churchill, it was some with Ed Dutton as well on... Talk all about Churchill. I said a number of times, loads and loads and loads of times, haven't I? I'm not really a fan of Churchill, the politician. I'm a fan of Churchill, the prose writer. He's a very good writer. I'll give it to him. But as a politician, I've got some concerns. Who really controlled him? Who gave him loads and loads of money so that he could live at Chartwell? Just asking. All right. That's the last of those factoids. Let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats about this time of day. We do our Rumble Rants first on the left-hand side of my screen. Let's have a look. Is it going to be a good day? Is Global Church History going to be in at number one? First name, Global, middle name, Church, surname, History. Will it be in at number one? Let's have a look. Bear with me 1 second. Yes, it's a good day. Today's a good day. reigning, defending, and still. That's not getting old for me. Two factoids. Usually gives us two factoids. What have we got here? You tell us the global church history. Thank you. Tells us that today in... Oh, wait, my screen's just booming out on me. Okay, here we go. Today in 1487 AD, the Catholic monarchs reconquered Malaga. All right, the Catholic monarchs. So you're talking about, well, the Catholic monarchs, Isabella and Ferdinand. Ferdinand II of Aragon and Isabella I of Castile married each other, became the most Catholic monarchs of Spain. And it's interesting that it was only in 1487 that they reconquered Malaga. It's interesting. I know a fair bit about them and their time and their age. Got all sorts of content about various things, including Magellan, if nothing else. I didn't know the exact date off the top of my head that they reconquered Malaga. It's interesting that it's sort of that late during the grander narrative of the Reconquista. Interesting, thank you for that. And the other factoid we've got here, you say that on this day in 1531, Pizarro discovered Santa Elena on the coast of Ecuador. All right, cool. So that's Francisco Pizarro, I would imagine. There's more than one Pizarro, actually, but I imagine it's the main one you're talking about there. I've threatened for a while, haven't I, to do long-form content about Cortés, Hernán Cortés and Francisco Pizarro. More interested in Pizarro than Cortés, personally. I think his story, his conquest of the Inca, is more incredible. The story of Cortés and the Aztec is an unbelievable story. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying it beggars belief. I'm sure it's all true, but the accounts are to be believed. But it's so crazy that it's like, really? That? Really? That happened? The chances of that happening are crazy. Pizarro and the Inca is even more improbable. And I've been threatening for ages to do Pizarro, and I'm pretty sure I will now. I'm in the middle of a Diocletian series. Sorry, not Diocletian, Constantine, but I talked about Diocletian for like three episodes. I'm in the middle of a Constantine the Great series for Epochs. Once I finish that, I'm going to have a good few more, 2, 3, 4, 5 more episodes on Constantine. I think after that, I'm going to do Pizarro next. Yeah, I think I'm going to. All right, so thanks for that global church history. What else have we got? The next one here, UK minarchist, UK minarchist says, as a history bro and considering the sensitivities, can I ask, have women ever held such institutional and social power in any civilization throughout history? Is this a first? No, it's not a first. History is littered with powerful women. Littered. Going back to the ancient world, Hatshepsut, Theodora. There's a number of... a number of women. It was, Mary Beard wrote a book. Mary Beard, the Oxford... I think Oxford, yeah. Or was it Cambridge? I think Oxford. Professor of History, who is just... like a globalist, a feminist, sort of anti-white activist pretending to be a historian. It's really what she is. I wrote a whole article. She wrote a book saying that women have never had... Women's voices have always been politically marginalised and sidelined. And I wrote an article saying, what nonsense. She wrote a little book, a really thin little pamphlet, crappy book, cobbled together, like barely more than an essay. Call it a book. And the argument in it, Cole bought it and made me read it to write an essay debunking it, which I did ages ago. This is like 4 years ago or whatever. And the argument was just complete nonsense. Complete nonsense. The number of queens and empresses we've had throughout all of civilization. Going back even like there's one in ancient Sumeria. Very, very powerful queen. Quite often women are the power behind the throne. Very often you'll have, like there's been empresses of China, queens of England, queens of France. It just goes on and on and on. Tsarinas of all the Russias. Have women ever held such institutional social power in any civilization throughout history? Yeah, they have. It's a weird feminist trope, a chip on their shoulder that women have always been politically ignored. It's just not true. Okay, I could go on and on and on about that, but I can't be bothered. Mr. Gently Benevolent says, it's pretty easy to be duped, to be fair. Only a few weeks ago, I had a true and honest beau message me offering Islander 1 for a mere £3. I don't know if you're joking there. You had beau offer you an Islander 1 for a mere £3. Okay. I hope you're joking, but you may well not be. Yeah, there's loads and loads and loads and loads of scammers. Just assume, if you're not 100% sure of who you're talking to, just assume you're being scammed. That's why I do it. Just assume it's some phony, probably Indian or Nigerian trying to scam you. Or on your phone or on whatever you're messaging people on, just assume that it's not secure. Don't say anything crazily, insanely spicy or something that could, if ever got leaked, get you in trouble. Just don't do it. Assume your thing isn't secure, because it probably isn't. It helps if you're not doing anything wrong, of course. That's what I always think. If and when I'm hacked by anyone or whatever, or even GCHQ, they're going to find a relatively boring life. I'm not doing anything nefarious or criminal, so good luck to MI5 or GCHQ going through my very, very boring stuff. Oh, yeah, his search history is just like history shit. History, oh, I shouldn't say shit. Sorry. Say it again. Oh. Yeah, helps if you're not actually doing anything nefarious, of course. Okay, GWFF says, In the morning, Bo! ! Say, in the morning, Bo! Big thanks for whoever at LE reinstated the Magellan Part 4 epoch. I'm jazzed to continue the story. Lovely. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a member of the glorious band, The Chosen Few. Yeah, I tried to get them to... I do want my epochs to be just all constantly, none of them missing, and they're all there. It's not too much to ask. I think. So, yeah, they got it back. So, thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying it. That was Harry's favourite one, isn't it, Magellan?
Yeah, it's amazing. That's, definitely one of like the better ones to start with, I think.
Oh, thanks for that, because Harry also, since Harry's been working here anyway, he hasn't been working here since the beginning, but since he's been working here, he does work on the epochs as well for me, editing them and making them, squaring them away and making them all as good as possible. So, it was like a, what was it, like a, how many parts was it? 15, 20 parts more? I can't remember. It was loads, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like 13 or 15 parts.
It's a full sort of audio book length amount of information about Magellan's voyage around the world, the first man to circumnavigate the globe. Although he didn't, did he? He died halfway through it. Some of his men returned. So the first captain a ship all the way around the globe, heading out west, go all the way around the world and come back. First captain to do that successfully and live was Drake, an Englishman. Sir Francis. One of Magellan's ships achieved that, but Magellan himself didn't. Anyway, that's the last rumble rant. Let's have a look at our YouTube ones. Harry, you need to bring that up on my screen for me. The YouTube super chats, if you don't mind. There they are. All right, what have we got? We've got, not too many today. Less than 10. Okay, Rodney, that's his name, Rod_Nee, says... pardon me. At this point, it seems clear that most Western politicians either hate the local population or are being blackmailed into destroying their own people. Sounds about right. That sounds about right. Yeah. It's hard not to come to that conclusion, isn't it? Needed a big swig of water there. Yeah, I mean, you're... Rodders... It's hard not to come to that conclusion, isn't it? It feels exactly like that. Why are you doing this? Why? It can't be because you think it's in the interest of the people, whether it's in New Zealand, because you sent 10 New Zealand dollars there, whether it's New Zealand, Australia, Germany, France, Spain, England, United States, whatever. Why are you doing this? It can't be because you've genuinely calculated it's in the best our best interest. No, so what is it? You either hate us or you're being blackmailed or coerced in some way. by someone, something. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Okay. Next one. Let's Fracture Things. That's what they've called themselves. At Let's Fracture Things 2807. They've put, morning, you all right? Yeah, I'm all right. I hope you are. What time do you wake up for the Bow Show? I'm on maternity leave, 7 months, and your show is my favourite. Double thumbs up. We've got a double fan-dabby-dozy thumbs up there. I like the double thumbs up. Jimmy Cranky style. We Jimmy Cranky style. I set my alarm for 6. I usually have a snooze or two, 5 minute snooze or two. I'm usually out of bed by 6:15 at the latest. 6:15. Yeah, that's my time. That's what I do. I whack the TV on, have a bit of breakfast, super quick shower, super quick. A little bit of breakfast sometimes, not always any breakfast. Cup of tea though. A roll up, quick roll up. Gold of Virginia. Blue Rizzlers. Put the TV on, Sky News or BBC. Sky News. And leave that on because they have a thing about 7:15 or 6:40. They do a roundup of the front pages as well. So I usually watch that, not always, just to see what the legacy corporate mainstream media, what their takes are. They've always got some globalist shill. Usually some woman, some ethnic woman with her takes on what the front pages are saying, just to know what the enemy are thinking. And I also get on my laptop, usually look at On This Day in History real quick, look at all the front pages, start clicking through the websites if there's anything else that's good and interesting. And then I live really close to the offices, like a 5 minute walk, 10 minute walk at most. Leave at about 7, maybe 7:10, 7:15 at the absolute latest. Get in the office and then from then on, like 7:15, 7:20 onwards, it's getting all the cameras, all the lights ready, make sure everything's ready, do our poll, there's just a number of technical boring things I won't bore you with to make sure everything's set up and ready to rock and roll from the moment of 8 a.m. There you go, probably spent too long on that one, but I set my alarm for 6 and I get up at about 6:15 usually. I hope your maternity leave goes well. I hope it does. I hope you're all well and everything's going swimmingly. Thank you for the super chat. All right, Tatum. Tatum 2733 says, the West is falling in 8 minutes. Get ready. You sent that, or it doesn't actually on YouTube, it doesn't tell you when you sent it. It's probably sent that more than 8 minutes ago. An 8 minute warning. The nukes are in the air. The Russian nukes are flying over the Arctic as we speak. They're going to start raining down on the West Country. Okay. Oh, one thing I'll say before. Oh no, there it is. I'll get to it in a moment then. CG ma'am. I'll get to it in a moment. Okay. Next one there, Mr. Dickie Bingo. Hope your eyesight's all right, mate. He says, flood season already, still got my drought decks up. What's that mean? Decks. Oh, drought decks. Sorry, drought decks up. Okay. Yeah. Hope your eyesight's all right. In fact, just add to that where Mr. Dickie Bingo said he's going to use his old dad's welding mask to look at the solar eclipse. And I said, yeah, good idea. Then I saw an article on the BBC saying a guy lost his eyesight or partially lost his eyesight for doing that. So I put out the alert to Mr. Dickie Bingo saying, don't do that. But then quite a few people said, who obviously knew about welding masks, said, no, wait, it's probably fine, actually. Apparently, I never knew this. I've never done any welding in my life. Not one moment of welding have I ever done. I said, no, there's loads and loads of different types of welding mask. There's different grades of it. And above a certain grade, you can totally look at the eclipse. It's absolutely fine. So there you go. It would depend. It's a more granular detail. It would depend what type of welding mask it was. Some, according to many, you would be absolutely fine. Others, yeah, don't do it. Like looking at the sun through sunglasses. It's not good enough. There you go. Anyway, I just thought I'd add to that. Okay. James Lee Pevenhole says, heat, full stop. RAF Shawbury from 1959, 1.4 degrees linear rise. Okay. You're saying that between now and 1959, there's been a 1.4 degree linear rise in like temperature. Is that what you're saying? I guess. Okay. Okay, yeah. I wouldn't deny necessarily that the global temperatures on average are going up. Whether it's man-made fossil fuel, CO2, that is driving that. That's what I'm questioning. Okay. Speaking of which, CG Man... Oh, no, wait. Yeah, so yesterday, CG Man, you said about India, I think. Apologies if I got this wrong. About India. And, why don't we talk about it more? Well, or, like, the geopolitics stuff. What I said to... I did say to Faras, straight after the show yesterday, had an interesting super chat. We should talk more about India. That's your wheelhouse, really. Your long-form content is exactly that sort of thing. Talk about India more. And Faras was completely receptive to that and said, yeah, they're right. They've got a point. Yeah, it is of more importance and doesn't get talked about enough. I will do that. I'm not sure whether it'll be this week's geopolitics thing that Faras does or not, but I did say it to him and he did say yes. So, okay, now you've put here. You put, Mr. Dade politely scolded me for constantly stressing Indians' asymmetric power. And like, I didn't mean to scold you. I'm glad you've taken it in good spirit there and said I politely scolded. I didn't mean to scold you at all, but okay. Asymmetric power, unlike other poor countries, it's a real power and not easy to challenge. So today, I'll just wish him a good day. Good day, sir. No, thank you for that. I didn't mean to scold you. I think I did correct myself, didn't I? In saying, well, I was a little bit like... A little bit tetchy, a little bit eggy, like India. And then I was like, oh no, sorry, I don't mean like that. No, you had a good point. It's a totally valid point. Yeah. Faras agreed with me as well. So hopefully, well, probably, we'll get some long form Faras content focusing on Spain, on India. Of course, I don't know what exact angles he's going to take. He started talking about India and China. But no, you're absolutely right. You really are to, highlight the role of India in the whole world, least of all Britain, but in the whole world. Bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger power, despite everything, despite all their shortcomings. You're quite right, quite right. And I didn't mean to scold you. Apologies if you felt scolded, even politely, yesterday. You are part of the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers. Ancestors. Okay, the penultimate one for today is from Rod_Knee again, who says, you get up at 6:10? Question mark. I get up at 4:30 to avoid the horrific traffic here in Auckland. 4:30. That's the middle of the night, really, isn't it? Well, not really, but that's super early. Haven't you then got to be in bed by like 7 p.m. 8 p.m. every night? Otherwise you just start making yourself ill from sleep deprivation, wouldn't you? Like, 4:30, that's crazy. That's crazy early. If I started getting up at 4:30 for more than a few days in a row and not going to bed super early, like 6 p.m, 7 p.m, I'd be a state. So best of luck to you, Rodney. Old Rodders. Best of luck to you, that's tough. I mean, as it is, 6 o'clock is early enough. Like 10 o'clock is late for me. 11 p.m. is late for me. 4:30. 4:30 sparrow's fart. All right. Penultimate one here. Another one just ticked in. Penultimate one from Field Marshal Dawn Browning Hoyt. She's actually put the word Hoyt in her screen name. Shout out to Chris Dangerfield for coining all of that, calling her a Field Marshal and giving her a salute. Hoyt. That's not my thing. That's Chris's thing. Don't take credit. I don't want. What's it called when you take valor, stolen valor? I don't. that's a Dangerfield thing. Good old Dange. Anyway, the field marshal just says she's a stalker! !! Who's a stalker? Sorry. Thanks for the 10 Aussie bucks. Who's a stalker? Harry, who is the field marshal talking about there? Who do you think?
I can't remember.
Oh, sorry, I can't remember. She's a stalker. I want to know what that was in reference to. Who could that be? Is it really obvious? Not the Queen, you don't mean Camilla. I'm sorry. Sorry, Dawn. I don't know what you mean. Oh, is it maybe the person, whoever the hoaxster was, who was belling up Andy Bumham, pretending to be Susie Wiles? Is that what you mean? Okay. All right. Oh, there's a few more ticked in, so let's read them. Vix GB says, Bo, do you have sauce on your breakfast bacon sandwich, and how do you prefer it cooked? I'll eat any sort of bacon. Any sort of gammon or bacon or pig product of almost any description. Love it. Bacon, ideally, I'd like proper bits of bacon rather than thin rashers. Again, I'll eat anything. I prefer like the bigger cuts of bacon rather than thin rashers. And depends what mood I'm in. I don't cut off the fat. Some people do that, don't they? They cut the fat or the rind off the bacon straight away. No. Cook that. That's nice. I like that bit. I like it succulent. My mouth is literally watering thinking about a lovely bacon sarnie right now. I don't mind if it's crispy, quite dry, or whether it's sort of more sort of succulent and moist. Probably moist. Probably a bit more moist. And as for sauce, again, happy with anything, bacon or daddy's brown sauce. But if it was up to me, brown sauce. My mouth is truly watering. Lovely big chunky bacon sarnie with brown sauce in it. Lashings of brown sauce. Probably more than most people would think. You've put a bit too much sauce on that, mate. No, that's why I like it. Big chunky bread, nice bread, bloomer. Fresh white bloomer. Loads of bacon in it as well. Don't just give me two rashers. Put four or five rashers in that. Loads of brown sauce. Oh, but I'm happy with ketchup. Absolutely happy with ketchup. Even happy with a swipe of mustard. I'm not too picky. There you go. Okay. The penultimate one here now is Rodney again. Says, yep, I'm turning the light off now. My circadian rhythm is screwed. All right. Okay. Well, night, Rodney. Have a good night's sleep. Yeah, you'll need it. Getting up at 4:30. That's crazy, man. Best of luck to you. Night, Rodney. Night. And the last one here is from Aristotle Gluten, who says, who's better, Bo, Michael or Bruce Buffer? Oh, they're both great, aren't they? One of them's the UFC reigning, defending, and still. And the other one is, let's get ready to rumble. I don't know, I like them both. Probably Bruce Buffer. That's the UFC one, isn't it, Bruce Buffer? And Michael Buffer is the Let's Get Ready to Rumble one. I probably prefer Bruce. But Michael Buffer's like the OG, though, isn't he? I like them both. There you go. All right. That's the show. It's now 22 minutes past 9 in the AM, British Summer Time, on Tuesday the 18th of August in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it's not a thing. It's really not a thing. It's all about you. You've got impeccable taste, really. Quite frankly. Turning up for the Bo Show live. Impeccable taste. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day. Your number of days on this earth are finite. Not a nice reality. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Try and make it count if you can. All right, I'm not going to get too preachy about it. You do you. Until tomorrow morning.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.